Welcome to Life Talks with Lauren. This podcast is all about having conversations around what's real for us and swapping shame and judgment for courage and connection. We'll cover topics like self-love, relationships, body image, mental health, and so much more. Think of it like getting together with one of your good friends and chatting about life. So grab your glass of wine, mug of tea, or your favorite drink, and let's get started. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 152 of the Life Talks with Lauren podcast. So I used to not say, I started out by saying what number podcast it was, and then I stopped for a while. I was like, welcome to another episode. And then I started saying it again because I was like, it feels like such an accomplishment. And I feel like maybe people take it more seriously when you have more episodes of a podcast versus being like, oh yeah, I'm on like episode 3, then people might not like want to commit to listening because they're like, you know, maybe you're not going to put any more episodes out or you haven't been doing this for a while. And yeah, I have been pretty like inconsistent over the past few years versus where I used to be with it, but still, at least you know that I've got some experience under my belt with this podcasting thing. Anyway, life update. I celebrated my 34th birthday last week, and it was really great and low-key. I don't know why I'm like this, but when it comes to holidays and birthdays, I prefer things to be really low-key because I feel this like pressure and expectation to be really happy and to have a great day. And then I'm like, well, what if it all goes wrong? And then I also have this fear of like, of nobody, you throwing like a birthday party and nobody showing up. Because I swear my dad told me this story when I was younger, and I've heard this story many a time like since on TikTok and stuff of like somebody throwing a party and nobody showing up, and it literally crushes my soul. Like I think about that stuff so much of like how devastated I am for people who have done that. And so maybe subconsciously I have this fear that no one's going to show up to my birthday party. So I'm like, okay, well maybe I'll just invite like one or two people and leave it at that. And hopefully they'll show up. And then like, I don't know, other holidays I get in like a bad mood, especially New Year's. And I don't know. I'm not a holiday person, I guess. Is anybody else like this? Because I know some people really like to celebrate and make a big deal out of things. And for me, maybe I just need to change my traditions or something and make it more exciting and something I can look forward to because I really would like to. But my birthday overall, it landed on a Friday, which is great, I guess, if I actually like had a 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday and was like, woohoo, it's Friday. So it kind of felt like another day. I started the day out with spin class, and my instructor, Jenny, is always like looking for suggestions and stuff. So I had asked her earlier in the week of like, she does a theme pretty much every Friday or every week. She has different themes for different days. So she was looking for suggestions, and she was going to do a St. Patty's Day themed ride because my birthday is the 15th of March. And she was like, it didn't feel authentic to her because Jenny is like really cool and she plays really cool music. And so I told her, I was like, can you do like a throwback to like 90s, early 2000s, like late 90s, early 2000s? I even made her a Spotify playlist and she was like, yes, this is what I mean when I ask for suggestions. And yeah, so she played a really great playlist. It was an awesome start to my birthday. And then what else did I do? I just honestly invited two friends over, two of my closest friends here on the island for just like a intimate birthday dinner. And one of them made me a cake, one made me a salad. And yeah, that was pretty much it. Low key. Oh, Orca wants to say hi in the background there. A low-key birthday, but then I went out the night after. I had a friend visiting the island. Actually, she used to be my downstairs neighbor, and then two downstairs neighbors. So the neighbor directly under me and then across from her, and they were best friends when I got here. And then I became friends with both of them. I ended up getting closer to Martha, who lived under me, because Katie, the other one, lived or left like pretty early on to me being here, and then Martha and I just really bonded. So I had to go out and see her, of course, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to go out for a few drinks, and ended up staying out until like 5 a.m., as often happens around here, just having too much fun. So it was great. Great birthday weekend. I kind of struggled right before my birthday, honestly, of just like starting to feel like, oh my gosh, like I really am aging. I'm pretty much in my mid-30s. And I don't know, like I don't want to let go of my youthfulness in terms of like me being just like playful and goofy and silly like I always have. And then as far as like aging goes, I had talked to Katie and Martha about this while they were here, of starting to think of like, I've for the last few years, you know how people say like, oh, you should start getting Botox and stuff in your late 20s. I've just been the last few years thinking like, do I want to age naturally? Do I want to partake in beauty enhancements? And so I'm still on the fence. And first of all, I don't even fucking have the money for it. So I might want to start there. Maybe that's why. That's honestly probably the primary reason I haven't even really looked into it or done any of that. But also, I just like, I don't know, I haven't ever really messed with my face, and that kind of makes me nervous, and I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea even where to start with it. So I think if anything, like this is what we had talked about, like just doing more, focusing on skincare and doing like skincare treatments, maybe getting fillers and Botox here and there, but nothing too crazy or noticeable. And, you know, maybe I'll change my mind as I get older and see different changes, but I'm definitely of the mindset of every woman's right to choose what she wants to do with her body and her beauty, and whatever makes you feel confident is like, you go, girl. And so, of course, I treat myself with that same mentality. And then this week I shared on Instagram how I was just like struggling with mental health, which was a little bit difficult for me because I usually, because I have like irregular cycles and really severe PMS, it's usually like I can attribute it to that, but I just like finished mine. And so like probably 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. And so I knew it wasn't that, which was even more of a mind fuck because I'm like, well, why would I struggle with mental health if there's no hormonal reason? Which is so funny because, you know, sometimes we just do, and our brain chemicals are different, and sometimes I have this expectation that I should feel differently than I do. Or because I do struggle with mental health like pretty often, sometimes I'm like, oh, the people in my life are really bored of hearing about this, or like I'm such a burden. And so I try not to have too many mental health dips at a time because like I don't want anyone to be disappointed in me, which is just also another issue in and of itself. And you know, I shared, and I'm pretty good at which I appreciate this reminder. Speaking of, someone on Instagram reached out and she was like, hey, we were just talking in a group of like, what if you were able to sit with the discomfort instead of trying to fix it or change it? And I just appreciated that reminder because while I have gotten better at being uncomfortable and sitting in it, I still think there is a part of me that's like, oh, I just want this to be over, or I don't want anyone to really know that I'm struggling. Which is actually why I ended up talking about it in my stories, because I wanted to isolate and not talk about it. And I was like, that's exactly why I probably should talk about it. And I had some necessary conversations that were probably contributing to how I was feeling, that I was putting off with people, some hard conversations, and that took a weight off. And today I'm actually feeling pretty good. I had also been out of my workout routine for a few weeks. Again, with my birthday week, I was just like, girl, treat yourself. Like, you can have whatever you want. And then the week before was like my period, and then, you know, just life happens sometimes. And so I was out of my routine, and this week I got back into it with a little extra movement. I started adding 30-minute walks in almost every day, as much as I can, just to get more movement in, especially because I am pretty sedentary at home and not working and not really living in a place. I would love to live in a place one day where it's like normal to walk everywhere, because I genuinely really do love to walk, and I could walk everywhere if I lived somewhere that supported that. So that would be really nice to have. But anyway, it was just another testament to the fact that like the slumps come and go, and that I will be okay, and I just kind of have to ride the wave. A big part of that too was being sleep deprived, with my sleep being thrown off from my birthday weekend and staying out so late and stuff. And I don't do well. I don't think anybody does well when they're sleep deprived. And so I noticed I was really emotional. So when I was talking to a friend and like venting to her and stuff, she was like, the first thing you need to do is get some sleep. And I was like, I absolutely agree. Because I forget who said this. I don't know if it was Brené Brown or someone else, but they talked about like, you shouldn't really have important conversations or make important decisions if you are HALT. And the HALT stands for hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And so I think of that often if I'm like feeling a little bit like insecure in a friendship or relationship, or just I feel like I'm not being as rational as I tend to be, then I'll check in with those things. And usually there's one of them going on. So that's what happened. I got a good night's sleep, and the next day I did feel more clarity. And like I said, I had the conversations that I needed to have. And then, yeah, I started to feel more like myself and slowly come out of it again, just like the sun shining after a rainy day. And what's also interesting is the parallel. It was rainy and overcast all week, and then it started to, like, the sun started to come out, and I started to feel better as the sun came out. So maybe I need more vitamin D. I even take the supplements, but I feel like I do not get outside enough. That's all for the life update. Let's get into this topic, the topic for this episode, which actually came from one of my closest friends also, named Cupcakes, which is her derby name. And I consider her like, we've had this conversation of platonic love many times. And so when I was asking for suggestions for episode topics, she brought that up of like how we've talked about that platonic love and the love that we have for our friends and the importance of almost decentering romantic love and focusing on platonic love and friendships. And, you know, obviously like different points of your life, you'll have different priorities, but especially if you're in a romantic, like a stable romantic relationship or one that's been going on for a while, it's a lot easier to then focus on your friends. And even if you're not, you should definitely have a circle to lean on and people to, you know, be able to support you, that you don't have to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so empty if I don't have anybody, or I'm so lost if I don't have a lover. Lover sounds so weird to say, but I don't know how it's a partner, a romantic partner, whatever. And I think about this too when I watch like reality TV. When I was watching Love is Blind, sometimes it breaks my heart how much like some of the girls will be like, he didn't choose me. I've never been chosen by a man. I'm never enough. And they focus so much on the fact that like not being able to find a husband reflects to them that they're not good enough as women and as people. And I understand where they're coming from, but it's also like, I think it's so important that we don't tie our value into how we're perceived romantically by other people. I know how difficult that is though, because we're literally like socialized as women to become wives and girlfriends and all that stuff, and to place our value into men's hands, especially when like even when we're talking about attractiveness and worthiness and stuff. So it's something that doesn't come easily, and I know I can fall into that, you know, just as easily as anyone else. But I also am able to recognize, to step back and recognize that like, hey, maybe romantic love isn't all that there is, and maybe there's actually so much more out there for us. So when I started reflecting on my relationship with platonic love, and I guess what I mean when I'm saying platonic love in this sense is the friendships with other women that I have. And that started out rocky in my like middle school and high school years. I think, again, because we're socialized to become wives and stuff. We see our mothers, you know, doing all the stuff that they're supposed to do, whatever. And then we focus on that and we're like, oh, I want to look pretty for this boy I have a crush on, whatever. And then like in school, you are surrounded by these people. And I grew up in kind of a small town. And so it was normal for me to be with the same girls from like, you know, elementary school into high school. But my friendship groups and friends changed a lot over the years because I feel like it starts in elementary school and you don't really know what you're doing. I remember there was this group of girls in elementary school that I thought they were so popular. And so I really wanted to be their friend. And I was like, apparently nerdy. And so I started like following them around, literally just following them around, like trying to force myself onto them, like as a friend, not in a creepy way. But I was like, I was following them around and they would ditch me. They would literally like point in some direction. It's so funny. They'd be like, hey, look over there. And then I would turn around and they'd be like running away from me. And I kept doing that until finally they like gave up and accepted me into the group. I have no idea how that happened, but it did. And then I had this other friend again that I always looked for, and I don't know where this idea came from. I think because my mom's like really beautiful and had like so many pretty friends, and then my sister was like popular and with girls and guys and stuff, and so I wanted to emulate her especially. And so I would just look for the girls that I thought were pretty, regardless of whether they were nice or interesting or whatever. I was like, oh, I have to fit in, I have to be like my sister. And so I would seek out those girls. And I remember there was one girl that I became pretty close friends with. Like, she would invite me over to her house and stuff, but she like had more money than my family. I was obvious, and I was kind of ashamed of that and embarrassed. So I would lie to her about stuff. Like, I lied to her about the kind of house that I had or like concerts that I'd supposedly been to. And that was one of my first lessons of like, you should probably be yourself, because one day we were standing in line at recess and I like called out her name and she was like, we're not friends anymore. And I was like, why? And she was like, because you lied to me. And I was like, what? And she apparently like was smart enough to talk to her mom and go down the rabbit hole of like things that I told her that were lies, which is so funny because like I'm not a liar, but I just really wanted to impress this girl. So it's kind of sad at the same time. But she after that wouldn't be my friend anymore. And I was so devastated and I was just like, well, shit, like, I guess I have to be myself now. And so I stopped lying to people after that. But the other group that I was talking about earlier that like had ditched me and then finally accepted me, they ended up being good friends. And then we got into middle school, and as you probably know, everything changed. And then I went into in middle school, I think I started to just embrace more my nerdy self and to be okay with having nerdy friends and to realize that I actually loved and valued them that much more because I related to them and I didn't feel like it was all just like superficial and based on looks and things like that. Although it still obviously like kind of was sometimes. But in all honesty, I still didn't know how to be a good friend. And I myself was insecure. I struggled with mental health and depression, and I didn't really understand what was going on. So I was often mean to my friends, like really mean, uptight. They would come over and I'd be like, don't touch that. Don't touch that. And like, so I don't think I was fun to be around. I think I could be fun in my moments where I let loose. And maybe I still kind of have those tendencies. I'm a lot better at it now, but anyway, I kind of just fell out with the one group that I was friends with. And then I made this other single friend, like singular friend, just one girl. And we were like great for a long time. And then that fell off. And then I met my best friend, Jenny, in ninth grade. And she and I, from then on, were inseparable for the rest of high school, which I found was a lot nicer than having girl groups. I noticed girl groups were, like, more complicated than I was ready for, and the dynamics were, like, just challenging. Because, like, you get ganged up on or, like, talked shit about, and girls can just, like, really crush your soul sometimes. And so Jenny and I were just, like, we were probably, like, Romy and Michelle, honestly. But we were also, like, I considered myself a floater in high school, especially, where I just didn't care who I socialized with. Like, I could get along with anybody. And so I was just kind of friends with every group at that point. And that became really apparent when I went to my 10-year high school reunion a few years ago. It was like I just was like cool with everyone, which is honestly really nice. But anyway, that's a tangent. But I feel like those early platonic loves, when I think of my early platonic loves, I can think of a few girls from the time frame that, like, really we've kept in touch since then, and we, like, shape each other's lives so much. Like, Jenny even wrote me this really sweet birthday text message where she was telling me about, like, she's so glad that she's known me for so long because otherwise she would find my Instagram intimidating and she wouldn't realize how silly and goofy and fun, like, I really am just by looking at it, and that I've, like, shaped her life in so many ways. And honestly, I feel the same way about her. Like, really just shaped my, she probably, like, saved high school for me, if I'm being honest. And that's something I didn't realize to appreciate until I was in my maybe, like, mid to late 20s. And that's, I think, the unfortunate thing is, like, we don't realize how much our women friends mean to us. So when I got out of high school and I joined the military, then, of course, it was a lot more, like, I was surrounded by a lot more men and, or guys or boys or whatever the fuck they were. They were crazy, but they were also so much fun. And I found that it was, like, so much less complicated sometimes because there wasn't, like, a lot of gossiping and, like, shit talking. It was more fun. Like, you could talk about fun topics. Like, to me, I love to talk about sex. And I find that guys tend to be a lot more open to it, whether they have, like, ulterior motives for it or not is a whole nother conversation. But I like to just, like, talk about, like, random stuff. And so I had found that, like, often when I was around other women, the talk would just be about weight and appearance and things that I just was, like, kind of, like, bored of. And so I became one of those women, those annoying women that are like, oh, I only get along with guys. And then I kind of just swore off, but I didn't value my female friendships as much. And I did have one really close friend in my early years that I was stationed in England the first few years, and we even got, like, matching tattoos and stuff, and I loved her so much, and I still love her to this day, but I didn't know how to be a good friend to her, and I was jealous of her in a lot of ways because she was blonde and tall and skinny and beautiful, and everyone was drawn to her, and I felt inferior, and so I did things and said things to try and bring her down, and that was kind of my pattern for many years because I was insecure. And so I wasn't able to be the supportive friend that I wanted to be. And anytime that I would say or do things, like, I knew what I was doing, I just didn't know how to stop. And every time that I lost a friend based on that, I was taught the biggest lesson because these really were girls and women that I cared for. And I regretted the way that I treated them. And there was no going back from it because the way that they had experienced me was, like, that was their interpretation, and it was too late for me to change their minds. And so losing her, that friend from England, was probably one of my biggest wake-up calls because she was one of the best friends that I've ever had, and all she wanted to do was love and support me, and I wasn't able to accept that love and support in the way that would have led to a lifelong close friendship with her. So then when I separated from the military and I got back, or I actually moved to Vegas, I started studying on how to be a friend, how to be a good friend. And I started working on changing my mindset around how I felt about women and my fear of being like talked about and cast out and all these things. And I decided that I would intentionally look for a group of women that would be supportive and uplifting, and that I would be selective in my friendships. But first, I had to become that friend if I was going to expect the same from the women that I met. And so, you know, I had some coworkers at a job that, like, some of the friendships I still am, some of the girls I'm still close with, and then some ended up falling out because, again, just kind of like toxicity, not being able to, like, I don't know. Anyway, I try not to really dwell on that and focus on that. I just like move on. But then I found this friend, Maggie, who actually, we had been friends on Facebook for a few years from, like, we both went to the same health coaching school. And we found out, like, years later that she lived 3 minutes away from me and she was holding this like brunch thing. And I showed up, and the women that showed up were just so open and expansive. And after they all left, I spent 12 hours like with Maggie in her backyard, just drinking champagne and talking. And that was one of the first experiences that changed how I felt about platonic love. And like, I loved and still obviously love Maggie so much, and I felt so supported and seen by her. And I started to realize, like, maybe I've had this wrong all along, and like, maybe I actually can have friendships where I feel seen and safe and held and, you know, all these things, and maybe I can learn to be better and really become that. And so after that, I moved to, that's when we moved to Japan, and I don't know, I think 2020 for many of us just like threw a lot of things out of whack. And so I came here wanting to be able, I'm like, oh, I'm in this new place. I can not manipulate, but I can like, I can form this new image. And so I had an idea in my mind that was almost like similar to how I felt in like elementary and middle school, like wanting so badly to find this cool, this group of cool girlfriends, and we could like brunch together and do all these awesome things. And like, we're all like, we can dress up together. And so people would like see pictures and be like, wow, she's doing so great or whatever. And again, like, that's just an honest thought that I had, whether it's good or bad, indifferent, whatever. Maybe it's not the healthiest thing, but I had thought, like, I don't know. I had that thought of wanting that, of like a girl group. But at the same time, I was really insecure. I'd gone back to feeling insecure. I had like just gained a bunch of weight from like medication and health issues that I had going on. And so I didn't really recognize myself in my body. I was going through stuff with family and just like a lot on my plate. And so I wasn't like really mentally in a good headspace. And then our first year here, I went through one of the worst depressions I've had in my life. And so I had met a group of girls and had felt like, oh yes, like this is so great. Finally found, you know, my people. And then I'm not really going to talk much about what happened, other than like it just didn't work out, and I felt cast out of the group. And actually later it was confirmed that I was cast out of the group on purpose. And that was really hard for me because it took me back to that elementary, middle school self and really fucked with my confidence even more. And so I was in my head for a while. I just like went back to not really feeling like I could trust women, not really feeling like I could be vulnerable without being too much or being a burden or being pushed out. And then I joined roller derby. And that's where it goes back to even like me accepting the fact that, like, I'm a nerd, I'm a dork, I'm a weirdo, whatever, and that I need to find people that are like me versus me trying to fit the mold of people that are, you know, can make great friends with other people that are like them, but just maybe we don't understand each other on the same level. And so I was definitely weary my first few months of roller derby, and I kept my distance from everybody. I was still, you know, pretty wounded. But what I noticed is that, like, I apologized so much that I was always just like, I'm sorry that I was in a bad mood, or I'm sorry that this and that. And it was just always like, stop, like, and we all say this to each other, like, stop apologizing for existing, for being what, in whatever mood you're in. And so these women, like, would see me in all these different moods. They'd see me without makeup, sweating my ass off. Like, sometimes I'd be cranky. Sometimes I'd be really happy and want to sing and skate and be goofy. And, like, every version of me, they accepted. And they actually loved me more for it. And that was when I was like, okay, like, I really have found my people. Because I think that's when you know, is when you can be with people and you show more and more of yourself, and instead of pushing away, they're like, oh my gosh, they lean in and they're like, tell me more. And I had had, I can't believe I forgot to mention my two best friends back in the States, Jasmine and Johanna. And with those two, we formed like a trio friendship, which is usually hard to do because one person tends to feel left out. But the way that we vibe as three together just fits like so well. And with all three of us, I think we were able to see, like, to witness how we excel in different ways, and like we're beautiful, but in different ways. And I, again, had felt, to me, it's so important to feel seen for who I am. And so from them, I had felt that way. And I think that's why I was confused when the first group of friends I had here, like, I felt really misunderstood by them. And I was like, you know, like, how do I get them to see what these other friends see in me? I don't think I ever could have. I don't think I could have convinced them. It was just like too late at that point. And so the roller derby group of girls, like, started to talk to me and about me the way that Jasmine and Johanna did. And then I slowly started coming back into my confidence and stopped second guessing myself so much and started leaning into, like, just, again, like, being who I am and supporting the women around me in the way that I do naturally. And yeah, I think about that all the time of, like, I love my friends here that I've made in Japan, like, so much that it hurts sometimes. Like, in the same way that when you're romantically, like, so in love with someone, have you ever felt that, like, I love you so much that, like, my heart aches? And I feel that way about the community that I've built here. And the thing is, the reason why I don't really focus on friendships that fall off is because they will, for a variety of reasons. Like, it's hard to keep up with so many people at once and give them the level of love and support that you want to, even if you have good intentions. But it is those people that you just kind of naturally vibe with, and the friendship feels easy, but you're still putting effort in, but it feels like you really want to do this for this person because you love them and you care for them, and not because you feel like obligated or it's a thing that you should do. And so I put more of my focus into the ones who I want to continue, you know, like, building friendships and relationships with, versus being like, you know, dwelling on whatever the past, like, didn't work out. And I honestly couldn't be where I am today without these friends. And I, like, wouldn't be, you know, people always tell me, like, oh, you're so confident, I want to be as confident as you. A lot of that comes from the women in my life who lift me up and who remind me of who I am when I forget, that I can literally go to them and tell them, like, whatever shit that I have going on. And trust me, I've been through a lot since I've gotten here. And I tell my closest friend these things that I'm like, okay, this is going to be the straw that breaks it. Like, they're going to be like, you're an idiot, Lauren, like, get your shit together. And they don't, like, they're just always supportive and And again, like supportive, not in the way where they're blindly like, you know, these are people that also challenge me and aren't afraid to like ask me questions. But ultimately at the end of the day, they are there for my happiness. So even if they disagree with some of the decisions that I make or whatever, they're willing to listen and try to understand. And, you know, I do the same for them. It's the same respect and it's mutual. And yeah, it's just, I don't even have words to describe how important it feels to me. So I'm going to end the episode by sharing a few posts that I had saved on Instagram related to platonic love, because while I've been able to share my own experience, I also, obviously there's like a lot more to the conversation and it's only, you're only hearing it like from my lens and viewpoint. And so I am curious to know if you have a difficult relationship with platonic love, or you have a similar experience with as me when it comes to like women friendships, if maybe you're weary in some ways or you've been able to overcome that, whatever it is, I'd love to hear from you. So if you're not already connected with me on Instagram, I'm at Lauren M. Kendrick and my DMs are always open. But anyway, so the first is a more of a definition, and it comes from the account Croitle, Croitle, and it says, "Platonic love, rooted in the philosophy of Plato, embodies a deep, genuine connection devoid of romantic or physical desires. It's a profound, pure bond built on mutual respect, understanding, and companionship, transcending superficial elements. It cherishes the essence of the other person, fostering an enduring, unconditional affection and support that goes beyond the confines of romantic love." And then this one comes from the account Jess Jans, J-E-S-S-J-A-N-Z. "Friendship is a love language. I got us tickets to, does this dress make me? Just checking in to, should I call him back or, will you come with me to? It didn't go the way. Today the man at the corner store reminded me of, yes, I will be there for, can you pick up, just dropping by to, sorry to call you so, tell me more about, yes, I'm still here, what if I told you, remember when we, don't be sorry, don't ever be sorry, thank you for the, you're the only one I, do you want to stay for, would you mind coming over to, I'm already here." That one reminds me a lot of the friendship I have with someone here who is also a Derby friend, Crusher, Candace, and that is another one that I just like don't have words for, because like we're also from the same place, which I think really helps in us understanding each other. We became close, really close within the last year, and that is probably one of the friendships too that like I will, feels like more of like a soul connection, like soul sister. And yeah, it's so hard to like talk about, like I want to mention and give like, I guess honorable mentions to my closest friends, but also it's hard to like say something about one without leaving out another, because also it's important to have different friends that support you in different ways or maybe relate to you in different ways. And I think that can be a mistake that some people make as well, of like thinking that one person, even like your romantic partner, can't be everything for you. And so your one best friend can't be everything for you. You need to have a variety of people with different perspectives and different backgrounds and different understandings of the world. And so, you know, Crusher has just been, yeah, I'm speechless. And my other friend Amanda here too as well has just been, you know, wonderful. But again, there are so many women that have contributed to my life in so many different ways that like, that these posts make me think about. Maybe I'll read one more. Ooh, okay, so I like this because it gives some ideas on ways to experience more love in life, even if you're not in a relationship. And this comes from Molly Burford. Molly and then B-U-R-Ford. B-U-R-F-O-R-D. "Call your best friend to say you're proud of them. Be specific about why. Joke with the grocery store cashier. Sing in the car. write shitty notes at poetry, include the lonely kid, draw homemade birthday cards, compliment a stranger's outfit, go the extra mile whenever you can, give a shit, practice gratitude, volunteer, look out the window with your dog, view exercise as a celebration of what your body can do, not what it can look like, ask more questions, and then fully listen to the answers, throw dinner parties, donate to tiny libraries, learn to apologize well, be the photo-taking friend, set boundaries both with yourself and others, slow down, be endlessly curious, forgive what needs forgiving, heal what needs healing, love what needs more loving, especially other people. A quote that I was just reminded of today too, that comes from Brené Brown, is people are hard to hate up close, move in. And that's something I always remind myself of too. And like I said, why I definitely try to focus on the positive aspects of people I've met over the years and relationships that I've had. Although I know sometimes it is hard when people hurt you and to still feel like, yeah, I'll forgive you and whatever, but I'll keep you at a distance. And that's okay too, of like, kind of like that post said, setting boundaries. And just really embracing and fully allowing into your space the ones that have shown you that you can trust them and, you know, that they'll be there for you and you've shown them the same, hopefully. I think that's really all that I have to say about that at this point. If you have any thoughts to add, again, remember you can message me on Instagram at Lauren M. Kendrick. I am here to chat and would love to hear your thoughts. If there's like a perspective you'd like to add or anything, and again, an experience that you want to tell me about or anything like that. So I enjoyed chatting with you this episode and I can't wait to talk to you again. If you have any suggestions of topics you want to hear about, also let me know. And yeah, I look forward to hearing from you and I love you and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you did, I'd love for you to share it with a friend or leave a 5-star review wherever you listen. Have an idea you want to pitch or just feel like chatting with me about the episode? Come find me on Instagram at Lauren M. Kendrick. Can't wait to hear from you.